Before I get on to the message this evening, and welcome to the house of the Lord on this, the last day of Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. And I know that I've not been talking about the history of the atonement and all the things that happened. You know, the scapegoat and the sprinkling of the blood and all of that. And the reason I don't talk about that is because that was just a type. And Jesus is really the one who fulfilled all that the atonement is all about. We know him. But we need to talk about what the atonement means to us. When I look at the word of the Lord, I always want to look at what does this mean to me? How does this play out day in, day out for me? When I'm asleep, when I'm awake, when I'm working, when I'm playing, when I'm eating, when I'm drinking. How does this all play out when I'm with friends? How does it play out when I'm with an adversary? How does it play out when I'm looking at a frenemy, somebody who says they're my friend, but they're really my enemy? How does it all play out on a daily basis? That's what I like to talk about. But before I get to that word, let me say something to us. I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again. And the reason I need to say it is because I want you to be fully protected. Amen? Hallelujah. What is this? This is a mask. And you're supposed to put it on, right? And you put this on to protect yourself and possibly protect other people from yourself, right? Okay. This year, is a pretender. Don't you dare place your faith in this. Do it for the people out there that feel comfortable because you put it on. But please, child of God, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't use it, I use it, but I don't place my faith on this. Please, the size of the virus is way smaller than the holes in this thing. This is not protecting you from anything. If you really need to protect yourself, you need to put a big garment on, like the people who are dealing with it do, and get totally fresh air, filter it completely. This is not filtering anything. So don't please place your faith on this. Remember what the word of the Lord to us was early in the year. My body is not conducive. That's right. For the habitation or the multiplication of virus. Amen? Amen. That's your armor. The word of God. I know when I make statements like that, there are people online or wherever that may get all wound up, but I could care less about that. I want myself protected, and I want you protected. And the word of God is your shield. Praise the Lord. So please put this on. I look funny talking like this, but don't place your faith in this. This is the arm of flesh. Amen? Please don't place your faith in this. Place your faith in the Word of God. Do this. Feel comfortable all you want. Make it part of your fashion for the day. If that makes you feel happy. But I plead with you. Don't place your faith in this and act reckless because you think this is protecting you. This is not protecting you. Praise the Lord. That is science too. The holes in this thing are too big for a virus that's 0.003 or something like that. Okay, let me get to the Word of God. While we are not afraid of viruses, there's something the Word of God says we should be afraid of. Hebrews chapter 4. If you may, please come there. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning to read from verse 1. We're talking about the atonement. But today I want to talk about what the atonement is supposed to accomplish. The atonement is supposed to accomplish you recognizing the fact that your sins, your iniquities are forever removed. In the Old Testament, it was temporary. You had to do it every year. But Jesus, our Lord, came once. And with one shot, he resolved the issue once and forever. Amen? Now, the atonement, when the high priest did the atonement, he had to atone for himself first. He had to bring the sacrifice and sprinkle the blood behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. And if he lived to tell it, then he's able to come out and get the second sacrifice and go back behind that veil and sprinkle the blood seven times again and touching the horns of the altar. And when he came out this second time, the people knew that they were atoned for. Then he'll take a scapegoat. And he'll take it, he doesn't take it himself, but it is handed over after he'd laid his hands on the scapegoat and transferred all of the sins of the people into that scapegoat. That scapegoat is taken by a fit man, not a weak man, a fit person. And it's taken through the wilderness to a barren land. And then that animal is left there and he comes back. And when he comes back, he cleans himself up, he washes himself and cleanses himself, and finally, everybody is atoned for. Hebrews chapter 13 talks to us about how Jesus became like that scapegoat also, because he died outside the gates, and says to us, we need to go outside the gate where he is and take on the same reproach. In essence, when you become a believer, you receive a reproach from men, but you don't receive a reproach from God. There's a song I grew up singing in my native tongue that says, when the whole world, when people of the world are heaping praises on you, know that you've left the pathway of God. Being a Christian is going to attract attacks. Being a Christian means that you're going to speak the truth and you're going to be ridiculed. People are going to say things about you. They're going to say you're old-fashioned or whatever fashion. They're going to call you Bible thumper. They're going to say that you're not in step with the times. Times have changed, and on and on and on and on, and accuse you of all kinds of things. It's part of the territory. So stop griping about it. After all, the disciples said, when they were whipped and thrown out, they said, they came back to the rest of the saints and said, oh, we're so glad we suffered with him. Ah, that's the life. That we are able to link hands with our Lord and say, I'm glad I am with you. Amen? You know, the amazing thing is that God is also with us in our crisis moments. But today I want to talk about this. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise, being present tense continuous, left us of entering into his rest. And ultimately, this is what the atonement is supposed to accomplish. You and I coming into the rest of God. It says, fear lest a promise is left you of entering into his rest. And any of you should seem to come short of it. That you don't get it. You don't receive it. The promise is given to you and you don't connect with it. It says, be afraid of that. That God has opportunities for you and you don't connect with it. God has healing for you and you don't connect with it. God has prosperity for you and you don't connect with it. God has favor for you and you don't connect with it. God has joy for you and you don't connect with it. God has peace for you and you don't connect with it. God has strength for you and you don't connect with it. God has all of his goodness available for you and you don't connect with it. Reminds me of a man who wanted to travel overseas from Africa. And he collected all his monies, put everything together. He's going to go in a ship across the Atlantic. He wants to get overseas. Bought his ticket. He got into the ship. Finds his room, and he stays in his room all through the trip, didn't come out one time. He smelled the food that was being cooked. He heard the noises of people eating and drinking, but all he had was the money to buy his ticket. He arrives, he's weak, the captain is out there, and the captain says, I never saw you out. Why didn't you come out for lunch, breakfast, dinner, nothing like that? Mingle with the people? He said, well, the reason I didn't come out is because I had money just to buy the ticket. The captain says to him, well, when you bought the ticket, you bought all of your meals. The meals were available to you. You could have eaten all this nice stuff. Now it's too late. You arrived, but you didn't enjoy the food, the fun, because you were not aware of what was available to you. Well, let not one person in this house ever say they were not aware of what was available to them. Because all of God's goodness is available to you. If it is good, it's for you. Amen? And if it is bad, refuse it. That's not your portion. Glory be to God. Let us therefore fear. In other words, don't be ignorant. Be afraid of being ignorant of the promises of God, of what God desires for you to have. He says, this has been left you. Present tense, continuous. This is not just something that happened then and was for those people. No, this is something that God has called you to now and forever. Being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem, not just come short of it, it says to seem, that is an indictment. In other words, I don't want you to even look or smell like you don't know it. You know, there are people who pretend to be something that they are not so that they can get something. Let me speak about it from where I stand as a minister of the gospel. I can come here and wear really terrible looking clothes, look really shabby and poor looking. And the reason I do that is a setup. It's a setup to get to your pocket. And you look at me and says, oh, this man, he's such a humble man, and this and that. But you don't know, I've got some ideas. You understand what I'm talking about? And the people play games. And God says, don't even come to that place. Because for me to do that, what I'm trying to do is not relying on the rest of God's provision. I'm resting on how much and how many ways I can be cunning to manipulate you to become something else. You get the point? Well, you know, you when the knot end, you know, don't dress nice. You know, just dress really shabby. And No. What I can do is believe God to provide me something that's nice without paying the money for the nice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm wearing a pair of pants here. These pants should be very, very expensive. But I don't think I paid even $10 for it. But the price tag of this pair of pants that I'm wearing right now should be somewhere around $200 or $300. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I don't have to pay what everybody else pays. I can rest in the goodness of God and be totally dressed up and not have been not wearing $100, but if you were to price out what I'm wearing, it would be $1,000 plus or $2,000. I have a pair of shoes. Oh, why am I telling you this kind of funny story now? Okay, let me just keep on going. This might be a rabbit trail, but I don't think so. I remember I was in the nation of Brazil with Mama years back, and we happened to have about 4 or 5 hours of a window of time. Because when we go out to do ministry, we are mostly locked in, spending time praying and, ministering to people and then coming, it's like airport to the church or airport to the hotel, to the church, or to the grounds where we're ministering. And we don't have much time to do any kind of shopping. But we happened to have about 4 or 5 hours, and we went shopping just in and out. And going to this store, and I see this pair of shoes, and the guy says, these shoes are stingray shoes. I said, stingray? I'm looking at this. I said, this is plastic. No, this is authentic stingray. I told him what I was going to pay. I don't even know what stingray costs. So I paid him about $70 or $80, walked out. I was in the Philippines, and I see another man of God wearing stingray shoes. I said, "Oh, those are stingrays." And he says, "Oh, you know your shoes. You know your leather." I said, "Yeah, I do." He says, "I paid a few thousands of dollars for this." I said, "Like how much?" He paid about close to $3,000 for those pair of shoes. I said, "I got some stingrays too, but I won't tell him how much I paid for it. And my stingrays look better than his." Are you with me? What I'm saying to you is this, that you can come into the rest of God, and in that rest of God, things fall in place in order for you. And you don't have to struggle. It's part of the atonement. You being removed from the place of struggling to the place of resting. God says to you, "Cast your burdens and your cares upon me. I care for you." It says, "My burden is light. I want to exchange with you. Take the light and easy. Give me your big ones." The atonement is about making that switch. Not living in a world of worry, fretting, allowing yourself to be overburdened about things and being concerned about this and about that and about this and about that. Just chill. Cool it. Because when you start worrying, you come to a place of defeat. You live in a world of fear. You live in a world of lies. Because you're trying to accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in your own strength and your own ability. And God says, don't even come to a place where any of you should seem to come short of it. That you display any sense of, "I don't have it." He said, "Don't even show it." Hallelujah. "For unto us was the gospel preached." The gospel was preached to us. What gospel? The gospel of the rest of God. "As well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." They heard the word, but the word did not bring profit to them. The word did not bring change to them. The word did not bring increase to them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's not that they didn't hear it, they heard it. But the difference is whether you mix that word with faith. In this sense, what is faith then? Faith is action. You heard the word of God and you acted on it. Hallelujah. You heard the word of God. I received that word. I'm acting on it. I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Mixing the word with faith causes you to experience the profit that comes out of the word of God. The profit, that's like squeezing an orange and you get the juice out of the orange. You believe this is not plastic? Then squeeze it and drink the juice. But too many people just hear the word of God and they memorize the word of God. And now that you've memorized the word of God and you can read it, what is it doing in your life? Faith without works is dead. Because it's abiding alone. So also is the word of God. Without faith, it produces no profit. But faith works by love. So therefore, when you want to see faith operate in your life and bring about change, you must understand that God loves you. That's where you start. God loves me, and because God loves me, I deserve to have this. I have a right. You don't have a right to anything. No, I have a right as soon as God declared me a son. It gave me a right. As many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become sons of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God also being the Word of God, they are the sons of God. And so the word of God says, all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why is all creation still waiting? Because we've not taken hold of what God has given to us when he says to us that we have a rest in him. And that rest means that there are no obstacles for us ever again. I paid the price, you have access. And at this time, when we come before God at the time of atonement, Yom Kippur, we're reminding ourselves of the fact that God loves us and God has made a way for us. That way is in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He says, for we which have believed, those of us who believe, do enter into rest. If you believe, you enter into rest. You do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath. Oh, I thought we were talking about rest. What is this wrath about? In other words, God is saying, listen, I've given you rest. If you don't come in here, I'm going to be very angry with you because you're making me look bad. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Guess what? Before the foundation of the world, Christ died. In other words, that's why all of the shadows worked. Because Jesus had already died even before the world was even created. He'd already paid the price. He came to fulfill it full circle by manifesting what he had already done. Hallelujah. He'd already done it. He's already taken care of. And if you don't tap into what God has already done, all you have is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed on the ungodly. You know what an ungodly person is? Let me tell you what it is. An ungodly person is an unbelieving person. An unbelieving person is somebody who unbelieves what they should believe. An ungodly person is a person who ungods God, takes God out of his place, out of his throne, out of his rightful place in your life. So when you take God out of his rightful place, you become ungodly. That makes sense? Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest in the seventh day from all his works. On the sixth, he finished with man. On the seventh, God rested. And God says, I want you to come rest with me. Hallelujah. I completed it. Just rest. Wow. What is that word? Rest. Katapao. It means to settle down. And God says, I want you to settle. Settle down. Not settling in terms of tolerating that which is wrong. God doesn't want you to do that. But God wants you to settle on the fact that he's already taken care of everything and all you need to do is relax. So God is calling you and I to relax. Hallelujah. To desist from battling, fretting. Just wants you to be quiet. When you come to that place where you are abiding in a quiet place in God, recognizing that God is in charge, in control, that he is your fortress, and you're relying entirely on his ability, you are letting God be God. Amen? So let us let God be God. He says, and in this place, verse 5 again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. The reason they did not enter into the rest of God was because of their unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. What's the hardness of heart? Unbelief. Well, it's too good to be true. Well, if that's where you feel you need to stay, in thinking whatever it is God said is too good to be true, then it will be that for you. Too good to be true. But if you dare believe that God can do exceedingly far above that which you dare ask or think according to the power that worketh in you, then you will experience that extraordinary level of experiencing God in a dimension that other people will be scratching their head about. How did that happen? So where are you going to put it? Where are you going to live your life? What are you going to do with it? For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Watch that. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, this rest is not automatic. The rest is only given to those that believe and mix the word of God with faith. That you're a Christian because you believe in Jesus is not going to bring you to rest if you don't apply it. That's why there are going to be Christians that are going to die broke. There are Christians that are going to die sick. There are Christians that are going to die defeated. There are Christians that are never going to accomplish much with their lives. They will still go to heaven because they believe that Jesus is their Savior. But is there more than you getting saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus didn't just come. Our Lord did not just come so that you can go to heaven. And guess what? Some of you might not like this. Heaven is not your final place. God doesn't need you in heaven. There's a new earth. You're going to be here. He's going to bring you into a new world. When you are absent from this body, you are present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you know that the Bible doesn't even tell us much about heaven? What people call heaven is the New Jerusalem, is the city of Jerusalem above. Did you know that? Or I went to heaven and I saw the pearly gates and the golden street. Oh yes. As soon as you start telling me that that's heaven, I start getting very suspicious of whatever it is you're talking about. But God talks about living heavenly here on the earth. In other words, living above normal. Hallelujah. Living above normal. Above the best that the world can offer. And God says, let's go above that. That's where I want you, Michael Efizino. I want you to be like a city on the hilltop. Everybody in Valley Land will be looking and say, oh, isn't that beautiful? I want you to be right there at the top. And that's the word that God has for you and for you and for you and everyone here today. To be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Living in the earth, living in the earth like heaven on earth. The reason you and I are not experiencing everything God has is because we've not believed God for it. You've heard me say how I didn't want to be a full-time minister of the gospel, and the reason was because all the ministers I knew at that time in the 70s were all broke. If you had a bike, wow, you're doing good. And one day, a man of God found in the Word. I think what I'm reading here is God doesn't want me to be poor. I believe God for total provision. He said, I believe in God for that. And I'm talking about Nigeria now. And he said, not counting pennies. He was now counting millions. And he started building stuff and doing great things and traveling around the world. He started believing, you know what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't need no visa to go to that country. I'm going there. He shows up into countries and goes into that country without a visa. This is my father's house. His name was Ben Sine Dahosa. Before you knew it, others said, picking on this, and now some of the richest ministers in the earth are in Nigeria. Some of the richest, I mean, rich, and they don't know how much they have. Rich, you know, that's good rich. It's in the same country. And I'm thinking, Lord, why did you send me out of there? I should have been. Hallelujah. When we believe that God wants us healed, people start getting healed. It is the account that you are drawing from. It's going to bring the release that you need. There are things God wants to do with us that he has not done yet because we have not believed God to that extent. But it's not because it's not available. It's available. And the atonement took care of that. It took care of the sin issue so that there is no wall of separation between us and God. When Jesus, the perfect atonement, came, the thick curtains that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place in the temple got torn from the top to the bottom. And the environment of the Holy of Holies came into the holy place and out into the rest of the world. God wants you and I to tap into this glorious experience in him. Hallelujah. There. I'm having problems with my mic today for whatever reason. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore, there remaineth. Now, when you think about that word remain, what comes to your mind? It means that there is left behind, untapped rest. Let's put it this way. God has a pot of rest, a bucket of rest. And some people took their portion, and there's all this rest that is still left. And God says, I don't want anything left here. I want you to get all of it. Amen? I want you to take all of it. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. There's something, people of God, that you can tap into. And today, my prayer is that God will reveal into our spirits all the rest that he has available for us, that we will walk into it and receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works. So this rest causes you to cease from your own works, as God did from his. This is God's retirement plan. God says, you want to retire? Okay, I tell you what. This is a good way to retire. Relax, sit down, settle. I'm taking care of it. God, what do you mean you've taken care of it? Like what I said, I've taken care of it. So how do I act when it's taken care of? I do something else. When you retire, do you keep on thinking about work? Or do you think about golfing and whatever else you want to do? Just relax. That's all God is asking us to do. We concern ourselves about too many things. God says, relax. How am I going to do this? It's interesting. The next statement in verse 11, it says, let us labor. See that word? Labor. Don't let that word throw you. Because that word is the Greek word spoudazo. And what it means is, let us hasten. Quickly, grab it. That's what the laboring is. Hasten. Quick. Speed up. Be prompt. Quickly, grab a hold of it. Diligently, grab a hold of it to enter into that rest. Quickly, immediately, right now, declare, I step into the rest of God. It says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know what that means, really? What it means is this. If you think too long about it, you will doubt. Because you're going to say, nah, really? It says, as soon as you hear it, I'm healed. You are healed. I take it. Amen. I'm healed. Before you can even think about it. I'm healed. You have a broken leg. I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of it, because if you start thinking about it, it's too late. Grab it. You know those old movies about Tarzan? Swinging from one tree to the other. You know what? When you're swinging, if you stay too long on the first one, you're not going to get the next one. There is timing. And we need to get into the rhythm of God as he throws that rope. I need to let go of one and not, listen, that's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. God already knows that you've enjoyed that, but there's so much more. Do you want more? Because if you don't want more, you're going to swing and it's going to not swing as far until you are stuck in one place and you start sliding on the same rope and falling. God says, let go quickly, catch the next one. Boom. Catch the next one. Catch it like Spider-Man. Go for it. Hallelujah. Just go for it. Is God doing something new today? Yes. I take it. Every time you swing into the next dimension, You're going to swing into a dimension that is so awesome, so amazing, and you want to know everything here. Listen, if you want to know everything, you might not get to the next one. You think you knew everything when you're in grade one before you got to grade two? Everything that you needed to know in grade one, did you know everything? You know, I know your kid might tell you, I know everything already. I don't need to go to school no more. But nobody knows everything in whatever level they are at. And if you're waiting to know everything in this level before you get to the next level, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. You're not going to know everything about everything. But what you do need to know is this, that when God gives you an opportunity, grab it. If it is God's opportunity, take hold of it and get to the next dimension. But always be doing it in the rest of God, recognizing that God is well able to help you through every experience that you're going through. That's what the atonement came to accomplish. Access, continued access. But let me qualify that by saying it does not mean that you are doing whatever it is that you're doing because that's what you want to do. No, no. In Leviticus chapter 10, two young men, sons of Aaron, decided to do whatever it is they wanted to do, and they died because of it. Whatever it is that we do based on faith, not presumption. Amen? Let me go further. It says, for the word of God is quick. That's why you need to be quick. That's why that word for labor is there. Spudazo. Hasten. It's quick. And God wants you and I to be quick just like his word is quick. For the word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God sees through everything. And then it says something else about the word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Now, the word of God is now personalized, meaning that this word of God that we're talking about in verse 12 is the person who is the word. The Word who was in the beginning with God and is God, Jesus our Lord himself. So he's saying Jesus is quick. Amen? Jesus is what? Quick. He is powerful. He is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, trust God and rest in him if there's anything in any way or any area where you are not matching up, he knows how to reveal it to you and show you where you are off so that you can correct it and swing on. Praise God. We've got a helper. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In essence, child of God, you're not alone. The one we have dealings with sees everything. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Basically, what the Word of God is saying to us is this. Anything that is going to be on your way, trying to block you, I already know about it. You believe me? You resting in me? Whatever challenges there are, any creature that's going to try to be stubborn, I can see it, and I'm going to humiliate it. I'm going to knock it down. So just don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. This is the same word, homologia, saying the same thing. Hold fast to saying the same things like God says. Come into agreement with the Word of God. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But he knows what you're going through. He's touched by infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we are strong, where we are weak, where we are so-so. He knows every detail. He's felt it. He knows the challenges of sin. He knows the pressure that's on you. And therefore, as your high priest, he's already gone ahead and he's taking care of things because he feels you. I feel you. I know you fell there, didn't you? I know. You know why you fell? No. Because of this, because of that. The other day, I don't know whether I was on online or where it was, I saw the craziest thing. And I thought these guys were nuts. You know how these guys ride bikes and they go through different loops and they spin and stuff like that, and they do different ones on different hills or mounds that they create? This was different. This was mountains. They were going from one mountain and going down to the next level, way down, 200 feet or 100 feet, landing on that and riding on that and going, and they're flipping. I'm thinking, oh my God, what craziness is this? How can you be this crazy? Who gave birth to you? Wow. I can't believe it. I am certain their mama didn't know they were doing those crazy things. But people were doing all kinds of weird stuff. If that guy fell off that bike, there's a reason why he fell off. Because the only reason he's able to do all of that is that he's keeping perfect balance. And if you lose balance, then you're going to flop. You're going to fail. You're going to fall apart. And many times in life, we lose balance, either because we're grabbing too tightly or because we're shifting our weights differently, and then you fall. It's just the way it is. There are certain laws that you cannot just cancel out. Hello? So we've got a God who's able to help us understand where the mistake started. And tell you, you know why that happened? Now, he doesn't tell it to you just for your sake. He tells it to you for the sake of others. There are things I've experienced in life many times that may come out in a message just to help somebody else. But it's because of, I know exactly what's going to happen. Sometimes you can tell where people are going to land before they land there. You can see, this is what's going to happen. And many times in messages, I, without pointing a finger, I'll be telling people what they're going to do before they do it. But they hear it with one ear and it goes out the other ear. Tell you, this is what you're going to do. How do I know? I've seen it happen too many times. It's just the way it is. You act like this, you start doing this. You say, I can tell people who are going to be in church, and I can tell you precisely within 2-3 weeks when they are not going to be in church. I can tell you. Because I've seen it. I know how it happens. And God knows exactly what you're going to do. And he tries to help you and I before we get there. So, let us come to this last verse. Because we have a God who sees everything, knows everything, understands everything. This verse, I don't want you to lose this. Because this, if you lose the balance of this, you're going to wipe out. You need to have the full balance of this. And so easy to lose the balance. I want anyone here to lose the balance. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. God knows you. He knows what's going to make you fail. His word discerns. It cuts through all the nonsense. You can't lie to God. Let me say it again. You cannot lie to God. Let me say it a third time. You cannot lie to God. Period. You can lie to yourself and convince yourself on your own lies and believe your own lie. But you cannot do it with God. God sees right through every single detail. And so when we come to God, we cannot come with our lies, pretending. You just come to God and say, mercy. Even if you don't know what mercy you're looking for, just come to God and say, I just need mercy. Because without your mercy, I'm not going to make it. I need mercy. Elios. Come to the throne of charis. Grace. The throne of enablement. The throne of empowerment. The throne of enrichment. Come to that throne. Come to God. And when you come, come boldly. Don't come wimpishly. Come boldly. The word here for boldly is almost an arrogant statement. Have a pep in your feet like you've not done anything wrong. That's the idea. Just come and say, I need mercy. Come to the grace throne, the throne of grace, and come boldly. Don't be hiding, don't be playing games. Just come boldly and tell God, I need mercy. Amen? Hallelujah? Do you get it? Be frank. Be clear in your speech. This is very important. Don't come to God with a pretense that you are all that when you know that you're not all that, and God knows that you are not all that. The reality is, if we dig into anybody's life here, myself included, we're going to find something that's not as kosher as it should be. Hello? I'm not as bad as I used to be, but there's still some badness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And when I say, not that I'm doing anything crazy or bad out there, but there's something that I may not be doing the way I should that is a handicap for me accomplishing everything that I need to accomplish. And I don't need to come here and pretend to be all that. And certainly I cannot do that with God. But I can come boldly to Him. I can come boldly to Him, come to the throne of grace that we may obtain, Elias, mercy. That's what you need to go obtain at the throne of grace. Obtain mercy and then find grace. You receive mercy and grace. They are not the same thing. Mercy is God looking over your situation and saying, I see that, but you came here because you need help, right? Yes, Lord, I came because I need help. Here's some more help. What did you do with the help I gave to you the last time? I messed it up. I know you messed it up. Don't mess it up again. Yeah. And you start going, and you start grabbing two, and fighting, and plop! Do you know what you did wrong? I don't know what I did wrong. You were not mixing the word that you received from me with faith. You put in too much of yourself into it. Let me do it for you. Okay. And then you start. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Come. Uh-oh. Lord, help! Sinking. But guess what? He walked. You know, we're always talking about Peter sinking. What about those guys that didn't sink because they did not try? At least he walked a few steps. He has a testimony. I defied gravity and walked on water. Every winter I want to try the same thing here in Winnipeg. Just walk on the Red River. I walked on water. It's water. Just try. Just believe God. If you don't, you have no stories to tell. You have no experience. You've accomplished nothing. Obtain mercy. At the throne of grace, obtain mercy. Grab mercy. You know what? That word is an interesting word. That word, obtain. It means to grab it. That means you take it. Huh? You take it. You go into the hands of the Lord and say, I'm taking mercy. Please understand, I'm talking about balance here. I'm not talking about receiving mercy, forgiveness, so that you know that you are going to blow it again. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about receiving forgiveness and receiving the grace of God to live more uprightly. There are people who blow it and they ask God for forgiveness, and they know as soon as they turn away from there, they're going to go sin again. They're going to go do it again. There's no change in their heart. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about obtaining mercy, grabbing it, taking it swiftly, and saying, God, you have to forgive me. Listen, don't miss this. You have to forgive me. I have to have mercy. Why do I have to give you mercy? Because I didn't blow it 70 times 70 today. That's fine. I just blew it one time today, right now. You said I should forgive somebody else 70 times 70. I didn't do it. Not up to that yet. You understand? That's why God's saying, come boldly. Come talk to me. Come, let us what? Reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. And they be as crimson, I shall make them white as wool. It is coming to God boldly, recognizing that the price has been paid for. There is still rest inside this bucket. I am resting in your goodness and in your mercy and in your love. You know me. You know me. You know. You know me. It's not like you don't know me. Are you shocked? You are not shocked. Okay, so because you know me, help me out. That's all God is saying. And when you have it right, you have this true. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the Word of God. I have been fully atoned for. I can live a new life. Push the refresh button, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I need to do something with this guy. But anyway, that's the word the Lord has placed on my spirit for us today. I trust that you heard every aspect of it and that you take a hold of it and walk with it. Amen? And when you do so, you'll find that your relationship with God will not be broken and your relationship with other people will not be broken. Amen? If you can obtain mercy from God like that, Guess what? After I have offended you so badly, I can come and say, hey, my friend, how are you doing? Say, who's your friend? You now, you're my friend. Don't you remember what you did? I remember, forget that, that's past already. Let's start again. Eh? And people be looking and saying, I thought, why aren't you angry with him? Because he asked for mercy, that's why. But what if he does it again? Well, I'll trust God to keep me just like he kept me before. And you know what? When we live like that, we'll walk in love. And the power of God will be made manifest. Let's live the God kind of life. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Yom Kippur. Thank you, Lord, for the atonement. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect price paid for our redemption. Thank you, Lord, O God, that this day you can start a new work in us. For we receive it by faith. Help us, O God, to strike the correct balance and not flop all over the place, but rather rest in your goodness. Let the message of life that you give to us forever change us, impacting us with that eternal life that cannot be diminished, destroyed, or brought to naught. We receive you, Lord Jesus. You are eternal life to us. Thank you that you paid the price. Thank you that you understand us. Thank you that your ability, though you were tempted as our high priest in every area and remained sinless, that ability is now being infused into every aspect of our lives, that though we may face temptations day in, day out, Lord, O God, that we will not falter, will not fail in our health, will not fail in our finances, will not fail in our relationships, will not fail in our walk. All that we do will glorify you. Purge us of all iniquities by your mercy and by your truth. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust that you heard something today that impacted your life and will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Is there